Buzz again. The Fox,
your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority. Woo-hoo! WFXS America.
98.7 The Foxy Knowledge.
Oh, no, I was afraid of this. It is a Thinking Thursday edition of Let's Talk. My head! Oh, my poor head. Welcome to the big show here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's Let's Talk, Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and hey, it could be you. Your big showbiz break awaits at 814-954-7266. A reminder that if you are in need of clothing, Bald Eagle Area High School this weekend is the place where you can find clothes for you and your family. Lots of kids' clothes, but there are clothes for adults, clothes for everybody. The opportunity to get these free clothes Saturday and Sunday, Saturday 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Bald Eagle Area High School, Sunday 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. So that is this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at Bald Eagle Area High School. If you have information on an event that is coming up with you or your organization and you want to let us know about it, man, we would love to hear from you at 814-954-7266. You can also shoot us an email if you'd prefer to do that through our website, 987thefox.info.
Use the Contact Us link. Very easy to put your information in there. I know there are more towns that are doing town-wide yard sales. Okay, my Center Hall friends did that a couple of weeks ago. If that's your town coming up, drop us a line or give us a call. Let us know. All right, busy show, another one, what I'm calling political week. Now, today we're not kidding. We're actually going to have Stephen Caruso from Spotlight PA join us.
Well, unless Carrie Benninghoff comes walking through the doors right before, you never know.
Or somebody else, like yesterday. You know, Congressman Glenn Thompson's like, here I am. Like,
worked out well.
Congressman, you're a day early. Like, okay, so we did a little last second switcheroo, and Stephen was good with that. I sent him a note after the show, like, we're really sorry. He's like, hey, Congressman shows up, you got to talk to him. Like, okay, thank you, Stephen. So looking forward to talking to him coming up at 9 o'clock. State issues, again, we still waiting. No state budget, still waiting. It's July 10, waiting.
It would have been passed a couple of weeks ago. They by state law, they had to have it passed. Well, already been passed. It's the law. We wouldn't want to have a bunch of lawbreakers as our lawmakers, would we now?
Hard to argue, but we'll have to ask Stephen, like, what's the punishment for not making the deadline? Now, this is like the third or fourth year in a row they haven't made the deadline. So we'll have to ask Stephen when he joins us next hour. What's the penalty for that? I think I know the answer. There is no penalty.
Yes.
Like, why have a law then? Uh-huh. So he will join us coming up at 9 o'clock. All right, what do we know today? Well, Arts Festival Week is now boom. Here we go. All right, today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, take your pick. We've got the Downtown Arts Festival at State College. We've got the People's Choice Festival in Center Hall, Grange Fairgrounds. The Heritage Days event over in Phillipsburg is going on. I mean, this is artsy palooza. All right, there's like art everywhere. Holy smokes. In fact, I think I already hit it this morning.
What?
Scott here. I live in Penns Valley, so when I'm coming into State College, I usually come through Center Hall. And when I hit Center Hall in my drive-in this morning, there was a backlog of traffic on the main street. I mean, this was Grange Fair-esque. And I'm thinking, I'm glad I'm not going that way. I think I'm going to go this way. I had to, you know, kind of change my direction a little bit. I mean, the traffic was backed up already. Hopefully the weather will cooperate today and the next 4 days. Might have a little pop-up shower kind of here and there. Probably afternoon, evening sort of thing, and so on. So hopefully that'll cooperate. I don't think it's going to be oppressively hot. Yeah, it's going to be humid.
Ooh. Yeah. That's...
Come on, mid-July, it's humid, all right? No way to get around that. But enjoy the arts festivals, because there's a lot of things going on there. So,
oh, yeah.
Let's hopefully everything goes well. All right, so let's give a plug for our Center Daily Times friends.
All right, let's do it.
All right, they have a story right now about a possible new airline coming to State College Regional Airport. And so if you go to their website, centerdaily.com, look for that particular story. This is called Breeze Airways. Now, I am familiar with this one a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
All right. They fly currently out of Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Airport. And I have a daughter and her family that live up that direction. And actually, they used Breeze Airways on a trip. When was that? A couple of months ago, I guess it was. They didn't have anything bad to say. It was nice. Everything was great. The airfares they got, they thought they were good, you know, and so on. This is one of these smaller airlines that does nonstops. And my daughter has two children, and so the idea of a nonstop is very appealing because you don't have to stop at an airport, get off the plane, drag the kids, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So she likes, or they like, nonstops, and I'm good for that, all right, nonstops to Florida. It's always to Florida. All right.
Oh, the Sunshine State, I like to call it.
Yes, it's always Florida. And it's usually like either Orlando or Tampa. Actually, those two. It's Orlando and Tampa. Maybe, I'm trying to think of some other ones. No, it's primarily Orlando and Tampa.
Not Jacksonville. Not Anchorage.
No, not Miami.
Yeah.
Not even West Palm, really. It's just Orlando and
not
Tampa.
Not Honolulu.
All right.
None of the other ones.
But here's the deal. Now, this is not set in stone yet, apparently. Breeze, again, is a small airline, and of course, as I read the story yesterday, I'm thinking, okay, all right, I get it. They want assurances that if they set up business here, that people are actually going to use their airline. They're actually going to do something, you know, like buy a ticket and use it and so on. They want to plan 2 weekly flights from State College to Orlando. So that's it, 2 a week. Not every day, nothing like that. The demand is not there. So it would be 2 a week, like coming to going, all right? And so they have an online survey that they're trying to see, okay, is there really an interest in this from the central Pennsylvania public? And if there is, then we will consider doing this.
All right.
All right? Now, here's the thing.
If they could do it this winter, that would be wonderful because... We'd like to get to Disney this winter.
Is that right?
That is correct.
All right. So now here's the thing, though.
Yeah, what's the thing?
This online survey, Breeze has kind of set a deadline, and they're working with our friends, one of our sponsors, Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, and CBICC. They're sort of both involved in trying to attract Breeze to come to our area. So they have this online survey, but here's the thing. They threw a deadline out there. The deadline is July 15th. Well, guess what? That's next week.
Whoa. That's coming up pretty quickly.
Yeah, that was rather fast.
Uh-huh.
All right. So if you're interested, we'll throw this again. This is a Center Daily Times story. We'll throw it to them. Go to their website. I'll be honest. I took the survey yesterday. It's a simple survey. It's a Google form. It's all it is. And they pretty much ask for your name and email address. And essentially take a guess, if you would use their service, how many times a year do you think you would fly? So it's like 1, 2, 3. Remember, these are flights to Orlando right now. Now, I suppose if they would get enough demand, they would probably take flights to other places. Nonstop flights. That's all sounds great.
Does.
If you're a regular flyer, you remember Allegiant was flying out of State College. Now, that lasted like 2 years and then just died.
Even those of us that are irregular flyers remember that.
Okay. That sounds biological, huh? But I'm going to leave that one alone.
I don't know what you're talking
thank
about.
Thank you. Okay. So Allegiant gave it a whirl for 2 years, and it was the same deal, nonstop flights to Florida. It lasted 2 years. They didn't have enough demand. The whole thing fell apart. Now, is something now different because Breeze wants to come in and try? I don't know. This is all about demand. And Allegiant didn't get the demand, and they just finally said, okay, we're done. All right. I mean, we got flights out of Harrisburg, Allegiant does. We have flights out of Allentown, Allegiant does. State College, not enough demand. We're out of here. So could that sort of thing happen here? Well, that's a good question. So if you're interested in such a thing, again, check out the Center Daily Times story online. Click the link for the survey. They want to, by this deadline next week, they want a certain number of responses. And I guess if Breeze doesn't hear what they want to hear, they're going to say, well, sorry, guys.
Forget about it.
It didn't work. Now, for me, we're still waiting for Delta. Delta departed State College Airport, a couple of years ago, and we've been kind of sitting and waiting and sitting and waiting. Delta, of course, is a major air carrier, all right, big one, flying through their hub in Detroit. Allegedly, Delta's coming back, although I keep hearing that. I've heard that rumor for months now, and it's something to do. They don't have enough pilots and so on. I have to wonder if part of that is demand again. Like, maybe Delta got out because they just thought, you know what, there's just not enough of demand out of State College, so we're leaving. And so for the longest time, it's been United and American. That's it. Would we like to see more airlines out of there? Sure, of course we would. But what's the demand? So we'll see how that goes. And after the deadline, their survey deadline is July 15th. So I guess sometime after next week, we'll get some follow-up story like, yep, they're doing it, or, oops, sorry, not so much. Now, Newsweek. All right, you do a decent amount of traveling. I used to do a decent amount of traveling.
Yeah.
Newsweek has a recent poll, the top 10 best major airports in the U.S. In other words, big ones. And, of course, it's ranked 1 through 10. And I can say that I've flown through just about all of these, although interestingly enough, not the one at number one. I've never flown through number one. All right, so here's the top 10 real quick. All right, we'll go in reverse order. Number 10, now, oh, by the way, how do they determine a top airport?
Yes, how in the world would you determine this, Mr. Gacy?
Okay, thank you. The various amenities in the airport, you know, like stores and restaurants and stuff like that. Baggage handling, yes, that's kind of important. Okay.
And Philadelphia has been taken off of the list of consideration there, with the baggage handling
Philadelphia
information.
Philadelphia is nowhere near the top 10.
No, indeed.
Okay. None of the New York airports are in the top 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, not really close.
No.
Well, it's interesting. All right. Number 10, Dallas-Fort Worth. Now, I flew through that airport just a couple of years ago. Nice airport. Number
That's
nine.
Somewhere down in the Texas area, if I remember.
That would be in Texas, yes. Number 9 is actually one of my favorites. It's Detroit, Wayne County Airport. I don't know why. I really like that airport. It's not gigantic. It's big, all right. One thing that they have there, now, again, Detroit.
It's not the size of the airport. It's the way we use the airport.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're reading my mind.
Yes, indeed.
Detroit is a Delta hub. They have to go from one concourse to another concourse, they have a big tunnel which goes under a runway. And so you have to take.
If only they had some cool lighting for that tunnel.
Been there, okay?
Huh? What are you talking about?
It has really neat lighting in this tunnel.
Hmm.
When my girls were still just girls, sometimes I had to fly through there, and I would refer to that as under the sea.
Ah.
Because it reminded me of the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
And so I would take pictures in this tunnel, and I'd say, under the sea, under the sea, here I am. It's just a neat, it's a really nice airport. I really like Detroit.
Very nice.
Number eight, I'm a little surprised. It's BWI, Baltimore Washington International, is number eight on this list.
Mm.
And now I used to sort of be a regular at BWI, but not much in recent years. Okay, maybe they've improved some things since I've been there, but that one kind of surprised me. Number seven is Austin International Airport. That's in Texas. Number six is Orlando International. I'm rather familiar with that one. It's big, and it's a nice airport. I mean, I think they do a good job there. Number five is Atlanta, which is Hartsfield, which is, I thought, the biggest airport in the world. That's not O'Hare in Chicago, which, by the way, didn't make the list.
Uh-huh.
I think Atlanta, or maybe it's the busiest airport. Atlanta is a very busy hub for planes coming and going. Number four is San Francisco International Airport. I don't think I've ever been to that one. You ever been to San Francisco? Does that ring a bell?
I think I've actually been there twice.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
LAX and the other California airports, forget it. They're nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is Minneapolis-St. Paul. I'm very familiar with that one. My old company, that's where they're based. And so I flew through that one often. Nice airport.
Yeah.
Very nice airport. Okay. Number two is Phoenix Sky Harbor. Now, I haven't been to Phoenix in a long time, but Sky Harbor, I remember, very good airport.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Number one, I've never been to. I've never been to Tampa. I've been to Orlando a bunch of times. I've never been to Tampa.
I've been once.
Tampa International Airport is number one on the list. Very popular. They do a really nice job. So there we go.
Good job.
Do some
airports.
Flying. All right. Allegedly, they are happy in Philadelphia today.
Oh?
I say allegedly.
That seems unlikely. Philadelphians I've come to know.
Something to complain about.
Yeah.
Well, they've had a garbage strike for only a week. It's only been a week. That they've had a garbage strike down there. The garbage workers have been on strike. Well, apparently we're told now the strike is over, although it's kind of odd. Today, I'm looking at a calendar. It's Thursday. The strike is over, but they're not going to resume picking up garbage again until Monday. Now, if you've seen any news coverage of this, there are mountains of garbage all over Philadelphia. The folks in Philly are always a little surly, maybe. They're extra surly this week because they've got stinking mountains of garbage. The rodents must be having a field day. It's like, hey, smorgasbord over here in Philadelphia. Mountains of garbage, which apparently are just going to sit there until at least Monday. I don't know. If the strike's over, why aren't they back to work today? I don't quite understand that. Apparently, the workers are not happy with their new contract that they've gotten, but they're going to stop the strike, so they didn't get what they wanted. The people of Philadelphia are ticked off because their stinking garbage is outside for probably, keep in mind, folks, Philadelphia is a good 6 to 8 degrees warmer than we are, and it's mid-July. Have fun. So keep an eye on the stinky smell. Luckily, Philadelphia is downwind from us. All right, so we can't blame them for stinkiness. Ugh. Anyway, let's see. Again, this is a big week. It's Prime Week. Amazon's doing something. Walmart's doing. They're all doing something. So this is good news, bad news.
Yeah.
All right. I suppose. According to Adobe Analytics, they study stats and stuff. On Tuesday, which was the first day of Prime Week, it's not Prime Day anymore, it's Prime Week now, overall online sales, this is everybody, not just Amazon, like everybody, was up 9.9% compared to last year, just short of $8 billion of sales online on Tuesday. Just Tuesday. So I suppose that's good news, right? People are buying the stuff. The previous, I guess that's a record now, the previous record was during Thanksgiving last year. Again, this is just online shopping. Thanksgiving last year was $6.1 billion on Thanksgiving. So people weren't eating turkey and watching football games. They were out shopping. Well, online they were out shopping. Now, Amazon, on Tuesday, their first day sales were down 41% compared to last year. So Amazon sales are down. I'm assuming everybody else's sales are up if the overall was up nearly 10% from a year ago. So, and again, the idea here is for you, those of you out there, you're competitive shoppers. You know who you are. All right, competitive shoppers. Again, Amazon this year expanded this to a four-day gig, not a two-day gig. And I swear when this started 10 years ago, it was a one-day gig, then 2 days. Now it's a four-day gig. All right, you competitive shoppers, be honest. Are you just waiting for the fourth day? Now, that would be tomorrow, by the way. Are you waiting thinking, well, if we just hold out, the deals will get better? The discounts will get higher. Come on, is that what some of you are thinking? I bet it is. According to analysts, they agree. They think, okay, some folks are just waiting to see if better deals show up if they kind of hang out and wait. All right, Amazon, people are maybe a little more cagey than you give them credit for. So maybe today, eventually, probably this weekend, there will be more stats that will come out. Let's see the numbers for Thursday, today, and Friday as people kind of hang thinking, well, they got to get better deals than this. Maybe, maybe not. All right, for you know, those of you that are competitive shoppers, we'll see how that goes. All right, we're going to take a break. Speaking of competition, our sports segment is coming up next. We'll have some open line time kind of tossed in there, here and there. Again, we're going to talk state issues with Stephen Caruso from Spotlight, Pennsylvania. Some things that are sales tax exempt may not be sales tax exempt in the future. Uh-oh. Harrisburg wants its money. All right, let's take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we will come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 98.7thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 98.7 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 98.7thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 98.7 The Fox.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Leather Lumber Great Outdoor Sale now through July 5th. Special pricing on TimberTech and Trex decking. See all our railing options, plus solar and LED lighting by RDI. The best in siding and roofing materials, as well as your summer fix-up. Fixing storm damage and new build projects. Ask about our new Best Plus plastic lumber. It's a long-lasting, affordable solution. Financing available. See all the outdoor living options at leatherlumber.com. Leather Lumber. Decks built to be legendary.
Hey, you! Why aren't you helping hang this drywall?
Because I'm the plumber.
How am I supposed to know that?
See? It's right here on my shirt.
Oh, yeah. Now I see it. It's hard to tell who works for me and who doesn't.
I had that problem, too, until I had company shirts printed. Now, it's not a problem.
That's just what I need. Where did you get your shirts printed?
Pamp. They did a great job, and now I can spot my employees right away.
Hey, Joe!
What?
Call Pamp and get those shirts printed for the crew ASAP.
for quality you can see and wear. Remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the spring sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. And it is time for a check of sports. And we start with some very good news for the State College 11U Little League Baseball team. State College in the sectional tournament. And last night, State College rallied from deficits of 4-0 and 6-3 against West Suburban to pull off the 7-6 victory and advance to the sectional championship. A 4-run bottom of the sixth giving State College the victory. Benny Kopinski had a 2-run single, Liam Williams with an RBI single, and Braden Summerson with the big RBI triple that gave State College its first lead and its final margin. State College will now face Hollidaysburg, a very powerful Hollidaysburg squad tonight at 6. State College, of course, lost to Hollidaysburg earlier in the tournament, so State College needs 2 wins tonight against Hollidaysburg in order to advance to the state tournament. Tonight's game at West Suburban will get underway at 6. PM. State College Spikes had a 4-0 lead after 4 innings last night, but the Frederick Keys erupted for 10 runs over 3 innings, starting with the 6th, and pulled away for the 11-4 win. Spikes pitchers racked up 14 strikeouts, including 5 from starter Jacob Mayers and 6 from Brennan Cutts, but the Keys get the victory, and State College now drops a half game behind Mahoning Valley in the MLB draft standings. Mahoning Valley jumps over both State College and West Virginia with a win last night. West Virginia lost in the afternoon yesterday, and so State College and West Virginia a half game behind Mahoning Valley heading into today's action. The Spikes will wrap up their series with the Keys this evening in a 6:35 start at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. Penn State football losing a recruit for the 2026 recruiting class. 3-star offensive lineman Roseby Lubintis has flipped from Penn State to Syracuse. He made the announcement on his X account. He is a Sicklerville, New Jersey native and had committed to Penn State back in late April. He is a 6'5", 300-pound prospect. He ranks as the 16th best player in New Jersey and the 81st best player at his position in the country. That according to the 247 Sports Composite Rankings. Penn State's recruiting class currently ranked 15th in the nation for 2026. The defending national champion Penn State wrestling squad will be heading to Philadelphia in the upcoming season. Drexel Wrestling announcing it will be hosting the Nittany Lions on December 5th at the Daskalakis Athletic Center in Philadelphia.
Sure.
Uh-huh. The Dragons fell to the Nittany Lions 41-3 at Rec Hall last season. Again, the two teams will meet at Drexel on December 5th in the upcoming campaign. Penn State wrestler Mitchell Messenbrink. Don't you get the feeling it's Mitchell Messenbrink's world and we're just living in it? The dude is kind of the definition of a student athlete. He's been named a College Sports Communicators First Team At-Large Academic All-American. Folks, if I think of one word to describe Mitchell Messenbrink, it's probably a beast. And you can feed the beast. And if you want to feed the beast that you have, whether your beast is a horse, a pig, a cow, a dog, cat, maybe you have chickens, maybe you have outdoor birds that you like to feed. Well, guess what? The Center Hall Farm Store can help you feed all of your beasts. And they do so with, the best food you're going to find to feed all of your various beasts. You can check them out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. Also, great selection of items to help you maintain and keep your gardens and orchards growing over the summer months. Again, encourage you to stop on in at the Center Hall Farm Store, 110 Allison Street in Center Hall, or you can find them on the World Wide Web at centerhallfarmstore.com. Messenbrink wrapped up his redshirt sophomore campaign, with Penn State as a national champion. He is one of 15 first-team selections on the at-large team. Now, the at-large team covers all sports outside of football, basketball, soccer, swimming and diving, baseball and softball, track and field and cross-country, and tennis. So all of the other varsity sports, there's 15 at-large selections covering all of the other sports. Messenbrink is one of those 15 nationwide. Again, he completed an undefeated campaign this past season, and he's also a first-team All-Big Ten academic selection. He has a 3.92 grade point average as a psychology major at Penn State. This is interesting. From the Penn State release, Messenbrink becomes the ninth Nittany Lion wrestler to earn a total of 11 first team academic All-America honors from CSC. Back in the day, it was known as COSIDA. When I broke into the business, that's what this has now transitioned to. CSC is what it's known as. The only other Penn State wrestlers historically that have earned 11 honors: Zane Rutherford, Nico Megalutis, Matt Brown, David Taylor, Glenn Pritzloff, Dave Hart, Jim Martin, and Kenny Sherto. That is a pretty impressive list.
That's a sharp group of guys,
yes,
right
of
there.
Just good human beings. That's good company that Mitchell Messenbrink is keeping. By the way, Penn State student-athletes from another Penn State release yesterday registering a pretty remarkable spring semester in the classroom. Penn State student-athletes with a 3.28 grade point average, an average grade point average, if you will, for the student athletes in the 2025 spring semester at Penn State. Nittany Lions had spring records with 578 students with a 3.0 grade point average for the semester or better, and 291 Dean's List honorees. In addition, yeah, that deserves the bell. 62 full-time students had a 4.0 semester, and 16 have a 4.0 cumulative GPA. That's
phenomenal.
Truly unbelievable. And congratulations to all of you who are putting the student and student athlete at Penn State.
Good.
And good job by the coaches getting your kiddos to emphasize for themselves the student and student athlete. Pittsburgh Pirates have now lost six consecutive road games after that 6-0 homestand. The Royals completed the three-game sweep in Kansas City last night with a 4-3 victory. Pittsburgh had tied the game with three runs in the sixth, but the Royals got a home run. Oh, what a surprise. The Royals hit a home run from Salvador Perez in the eighth inning to pull out the 4-3 victory. Perez had two home runs in the game. Jack Caglianone crushed a two-run homer some 466 feet to center field in the fourth inning. Kansas City had at least two home runs in it each of the three games and belted out nine in the three-game series against, again, a good Pirates pitching staff. Key Brian Hayes had a two-run single for the Buccos in that three-run sixth. Pittsburgh will have today off before opening a three-game series against the Twins in Minnesota tomorrow night, and then, somewhat mercifully, the Pirates will hit the All-Star break
next week. Yeah.
And we'll have a few days where we don't have to watch or listen or pay attention to Pirates baseball. But we get to see Paul Skeens at the All-Star game, and we'll get to see O'Neill Cruz in the Home Run Derby. So that could be fun. Bryce Harper had a home run, also had three doubles. That's what we call a good night at the plate for Bryce Harper. And the Philadelphia Phillies got a strong start from Jesus Luzardo. He threw seven innings of three-hit shutout ball and had seven strikeouts in the Phillies' 13-0 rout of the Giants as Philadelphia salvages the final game of that three-game series. Kyle Schwarber had a three-run homer for the Phillies, who broke the game open with a seven-run eighth inning, and then tacked on a couple of more in the ninth. The Phillies now lead the Mets by one half game in the National League East. Philadelphia has today off before opening a big series against the Padres in San Diego this weekend before the All-Star break. It's not going to be this year, but again, the Mad Turtle at our house is a Padres fan. Big Fernando Tatis fan, likes Manny Machado, just likes the Padres for whatever reason. We gravitated toward them a couple of years ago, actually. And we were talking yesterday. I have never been to San Diego, which
I've been there once.
From just about everybody I've talked to, we had a neighbor that played out there. Bob Meininger was terrific. All-American at Penn State. Played for the San Diego Chargers. And I've just never been there. And at some point, one way or another, over the course of the next 3 years or so, we're going to get out there and just at least spend
beautiful
a weekend. Yeah, everybody says it's like it's just perfect.
It's gorgeous.
Like, weather-wise,
yes,
beautiful city, the whole bit. And the park looks fantastic. So that is, we're on a mission. We're not going to go out and watch the Phillies and Padres this weekend, but, you know, somewhere down the road, we're going to work our way out there, I think. Well, that's our goal anyway.
The Buccos in San Diego anytime?
Yeah, they have a series coming up in San Diego. We are not going to that one this year. We have we've done two bigger trips already, and we are determined to get to Disney sometime within the next 9 months anyway, 9-10 months. And so we're tapped out is what we are at the moment. So, yeah, this is more somewhere, probably not next year, but maybe 2027, 2028. We'll look at trying to put that.
Well, if that airline comes in,
well,
that would be something to take advantage of.
There you go.
Non-stops would be great.
That would be fantastic.
All right. Now, Phillies lead the Mets because the Mets didn't play because they were in Baltimore where it really rained last night.
They had rain, is my understanding.
Yeah, they had nasty thunderstorms. D.C., Baltimore, and that corridor right there. So, they're going to, here we go, doubleheader, buy two tickets.
Yep.
All right. Oh, I miss the old days.
I'm with you.
You know, just one ticket, two games. So they're going to.
It was crazy.
They're going to play two games in Baltimore tonight.
Yep.
Or today, I guess. There we go.
Well, one today, one this evening.
Now, I saw an ESPN story about baseball trade rumors. And they mentioned certain players.
Uh-huh.
You want to take a guess, the very first player they mentioned?
It's been all over the place. Paul Skeens.
Paul Skeens.
The beloved pitcher.
Would they actually do that?
I don't think they're going to get what they would need in return to do that. But yes, do I think they would do it if the right offer was there? Yes, because with Paulski, he is a terrific draw, obviously an absolute phenom and a great talent, and the Pirates with him are doing nothing. They are far and away in last place in the National League Central. It's like, I mean, yeah, it's cool having Paul Skeens and the overall value because of what else you have. So if you can get three or four legitimate long-term big league players, well, yeah, that's going to get you closer than what you currently are. They have a good starting pitching staff without Skeens. Again, do you want to lose Skeens? No. Is it a trade that you're just, let's get rid of him? No, but man, if you can get return, again, with him, what he is bringing you right now, not his fault, but I mean, the overall value is, instead of being in last place without a big draw, you're in last place with a big draw. I mean, okay, but, you know, the ultimate goal and, you know, the bottom line, they have ownership that is not interested in the ultimate goal, and that's, until that changes, it doesn't really matter whether you keep Paul Skeens, you get rid of him and make a trade. This current ownership group, the Pirates are not serious about trying to put out a championship-winning team. They'd like to get closer to contending.
All those things you just said.
Yep.
He's still on his, I guess, call it his rookie contract.
Yep.
When that eventually ends, the chances of him staying in Pittsburgh.
Zero.
Are probably zero.
Yep.
And so if
as
you
close
can,
to zero, I mean, I guess you always say there's a chance. It's like a 0.0001 chance. There would be no reason whatsoever. And the Pirates are not going to be able to throw anywhere near, I mean, not even in the same ballpark, the money that teams like the Dodgers, like the Yankees, like the Phillies will be able to throw out to him.
So if you can somehow do a whopper deal with somebody.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, you've got to get, I would say, at least three guys that you think are legitimate long-term major league starters, like guys that you think, not just that you can wheel out there and, all right, we have somebody at the position. I'm talking about guys that you think can be difference makers in your lineup.
So we'll see what happens here.
Yes. Right. Yes, we will.
All right, let's take a break.
We'll have a little open line time. We come back. Stephen Caruso from Spotlight PA. We're going to talk state issues, things that are happening and not happening down in Harrisburg. Interesting stuff there. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
98.7 The Fox. It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Happy Arts Festivals weekend. Yeah, it's a long weekend. We like it that way. And welcome, those of you visiting the Valley of Happiness. We hope you enjoy your stay over the next several days.
Spend money.
Yeah, that would help as well. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266.
All right, I've got about 10 minutes or so again. Stephen Caruso, Spotlight PA, talk over state issues, what's happening, again, what's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking to him in just a little bit. Now, if you missed, again, yesterday we were sort of juggly when Congressman Glenn Thompson showed up 24 hours early because somebody muffed a schedule. Not a big deal. We had a very good chat with him, I thought, yesterday.
Yeah.
If you missed it, oh, come on. It's okay. Website, 987thefox.info. Go to the Let's Talk interview section. We had the congressman for about an hour yesterday, and the whole thing is right there. You can listen to it. The big, beautiful bill, act, law, and again, all these stories flying around and claims and all this sort of stuff. It just drives you crazy. And so we talked about some of that. This bill, this law, is over 900 pages long. It's gigantic. And we didn't begin to cover all the aspects yesterday. We would have needed hours to do that. But we covered the tough stuff, if you will. Medicaid, a lot of people concerned about Medicaid. SNAP funding, what we used to call food stamps. Now it's called SNAP. Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. I think I got that right. At one point yesterday, the congressman emphasized the word supplemental. In other words, it's supposed to help, not supposed to just give you everything, if
yes.
you will. Okay. I came across this is an interesting story here from WGAL-TV. That's down in Lancaster. They did a story, kind of a follow-up on all this stuff. They looked at the entire state of Pennsylvania, all 67 counties, and they did a breakdown of how many SNAP recipients are in all 67 counties. And they did this by percentage, like what percentage of the population is signed up for SNAP. All right? And they list all 67 counties of Pennsylvania. What's interesting here, well, there's several things interesting here. Now, it depends how you look at it. Dead last or first, Center County is dead last in the state, meaning only 5.2% of us county residents get SNAP benefits or need SNAP benefits. We are dead last in the state. Now, you might say, well, that's actually maybe like first. All right? In other words, we have the lowest number of people that need SNAP benefits. Okay? Chester County, which is that, you know, the suburban Philadelphia counties, again, a lot of people, a lot of money. They're doing great. Chester County is also 5.2%. Very small number. Now, by comparison, Philadelphia County, all right, not the suburban counties. Philadelphia County, 30.2% of people get SNAP benefits down there.
Mm.
If you round off a little bit, that's like one-third of the entire population is signed up for SNAP. Whoa, that's a lot of people. Holy moly. Fayette County, which is south of Pittsburgh, 24.3%. So one out of four people in Fayette County are signed up for SNAP. Cameron County, I know that area. Emporium, you could call Cameron County the middle of nowhere. Kind of is, in a way. Not trying to knock them or anything, but it's extremely rural and wooded. They're third at 21.8%. Now, how about some of our neighbors? Again, Center County, dead last. Blair County is ninth on this list, so that's Altoona. 19.1% of folks down there are signed up for SNAP.
Wow.
Clearfield County is 16th on this list. And again, the higher number is not necessarily a good thing here.
Right.
16.8% of Clearfield County residents are on SNAP. Mifflin County,
So Lewistown area, they're 20th on this list, 16%. So that would be roughly one out of six people in Mifflin County is signed up for SNAP. Lycoming counties, that's Williamsport area, 15.5%. Clinton County, that would be the Lock Haven area, they're 24th on this list, 14.9%. So it's interesting. I mean, we're dead last. Center County, we're dead last on this list. Now, the counties surrounding us are not in great shape. Where's Huntington? One thing that surprised me, Huntington County is not doing that great. Somehow, they're 41st on this list. I expected them to be a lot higher, 13.3%. That really surprised me, because I know that Huntington County has been struggling mightily for quite a while now. So I expected them to be way higher on this list. We're dead last. By the way, for the entire state of Pennsylvania, just short of 2 million people get SNAP benefits. That's a lot of people. Now, again, if you heard the congressman yesterday, he's saying, okay, there's some waste in there. There are some people getting benefits that really shouldn't be. They could go out and get a job and so on. And that's where the argument, I guess, here is. All right? That's the right side of the aisle claims there are people out there, instead of getting government benefits, you need to go get a job. Because it's not like there aren't jobs. There's jobs out there. Are they big money jobs? Yeah, probably not. But the idea is, instead of you sitting back taking government benefits left, right, left, right, left, right, go out and get some work, make some money for yourself so that you don't need to get those benefits anymore. I don't know. That seems obvious, but yet get ready, because there's going to be a gigantic argument about this. Oh, no, 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 can't do that, can't do that. You know, the congressman mentioned yesterday, there is a subset of people out there, including maybe somebody listening to my voice, you just don't feel like working. Now, that sounds really harsh. Now, I don't know. What do you think? Accurate? Not accurate?
Of course. There are people out there. Here's the thing, too. It's not... So you can also volunteer. And what we're talking about is, we're not even talking, like, there are people, and this is a source of great frustration for some, and I think understandably. When we, you know, there's a lot of talk about the Democrats will tell you that what this big, beautiful bill is doing is we're taking money from the poor and giving it to the rich. And it's just absurd, because the poor don't pay taxes. I'm talking about the bottom. It's absurd. Like, it just, that's not what's happening. Never has, and it won't, in part because it can't. So, but what is frustrating, I think, too many, and I have a lot of friends, and I've been one of those people pretty consistently throughout my life, where it's, hey, I have multiple jobs. I'm trying to, and if you sat down, and I try not to, because it'll frustrate me even more. A lot of business owners I know, and I'm talking about small business owners, like in our area, the 40-hour work week would be a thing of glory.
It'd be wonderful.
A thing of beauty that they genuinely can't even imagine. They are putting in 60 to 70, and in some cases, and I'm not exaggerating, 80-hour weeks. These are folks that are, it's 7 days a week. It is year-round. Some don't take vacations. No, some do. Every business owner is. No, but there are business owners out there I know some who have taken personal hits, like, man, really just getting by, because they're wanting to keep their employees in good stead, and it is not an easy thing. But even forget the business owners, there are people that, again, are working two, three jobs, part-time here, part-time there. It's just piecing stuff together. And they're looking at a neighbor across the street. Now, they're not living large, right? Like, I get it. They're not in a mansion. They're not riding the Rolls Royce. No, but they're getting by just the way you are, and they are doing nothing. Now, you know, Glenn Thompson, I think it's an important point. We're not saying, like, if you are the... if you've lost a spouse and you are the care provider for three kiddos and your spouse was the economic provider for your family, yeah, we're not talking about those. There are all kinds of different circumstances that people are in. We're talking about people who can work, who should be working, and again, we're talking 20 hours a week is what this is, we're asking you to do. And if you can't find work, volunteer or go get yourself some skills at the expense of the state to allow yourself to be employable.
Yeah, all right, we're going to take a break in a moment. That third thing that the congressman mentioned yesterday, I really get the feeling a lot of people don't realize that there is free training out there for new jobs, new work, you know, learn some skills and so on. There are government programs where you can get free training to change your career and go in a different direction. I really think there's a lot of folks that don't even understand or do realize, you mean that's out there? Yeah, it is. And if anything, somebody needs to do some, I don't know, educational efforts to say, hey, look at this. This is something you could take advantage of. So if you're in that situation, I mean, don't wait weeks or months for this law to start kicking in and all this sort of thing. Do it now. Go online, do some research about these free educational programs to learn skills, change your career, and so on. And the idea is, let's get more people working. Now, if you disagree with that somehow, we got to take a break. We have a guest. I'd love to hear from you. I really would. Make your case why that's a bad idea or why that won't work. Just, you know, not right now, all right? We have a guest coming up. But later on when we have some open time, call in and just make the case why that's not a good thing. I'm honestly curious. All right, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Stop talking. We'll let some commercials do some talking. We'll talk some state issues when we come back after this.
98.7 The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 98.7thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 98.7 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 98.7thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 98.7 The Fox.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from Pamp.
What's the name of Yun's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Save big at head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the spring sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and grandstand, multi-force, stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Now, coming to State College soon, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn, next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant. Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sport, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream, just down the street from Beaver Stadium in the Jordan Center, and they're hiring. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have some open phone time at the tail end of this morning's big show.
All right. Let's talk some state issues. I'm calling this political week, not prime week, not arts fest week. It's political week. All right. Again, yesterday we had a curve tossed our way. Federal was yesterday. Today we're going to try state. Tomorrow we're going to do local. All right. We'll have more on that later. Let's welcome to our program our friend Stephen Caruso from Spotlight PA. Stephen, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I love being the representative of Harrisburg. I feel very honored.
You sure you mean that? Which we'll talk about in a little bit. SpotlightPA.org is their website. These folks do great, great stuff. Stephen, we've had you on it, well, several times now, and I'm honored, I suppose, to say I kind of kick you guys a few bucks every month because I really value the reporting that you guys do, the stories that I'm not seeing in other places. So right off the bat, please keep up the good work. And
thank you.
First off, for folks maybe that have, you know, are new listener or something like that, if you would tell us something about yourself, your background, what do you cover, and then maybe a little bit about Spotlight PA and what you folks do. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name's Steven. I cover state government. I've been doing it for now 7.5 years. I went to school in Pittsburgh, so I went to Pitt. Sorry to state college listeners, but I'm going to be Ray Venipal's interception. Wait, no, not Ray Venipal. Anyway, boys, I was at the game where we beat you in 2016. I'm so proud of it. I've been covering Pennsylvania for 7 years. It's fascinating. I now live in Philadelphia, but I'm in Harrisburg as much as needed these days. And Spotlight PA is an outlet that focuses on everything state government. We have an outlet in State College, as some of your listeners probably know, that focuses on them. We added one in Berks County. I think there's a goal of trying to see where else can we add these bureaus. But other than that, like, our core function is, like, how do we cover government and institutions of power in the state in an assertive way that tries to, you know, keep an eye on, like, what are they doing with that power and how is it impacting the people who interact with them all the time? And for the state government, well, this is the busiest time of year because the state budget was due June 30th, and we don't have a state budget yet. And that's kind of become the new normal, but I'm sure we'll get into all that.
All right. Now, I just saw something this morning, Stephen. Apparently, the National Press Club likes you. You want to talk about that? You got, an award of sorts. What is that?
So Spotlight got two honorable mentions from the National Press Club. So, you know, we applied. My colleague Angela got an honorable mention for coverage of the aging system in Pennsylvania. She's been doing a lot of work on holes in it that leads to, cases of folks who are getting up there who might be, you know, having some health issues that they aren't getting the help they need. I want an honorable mention for political reporting, specifically for our coverage of Governor Josh Shapiro, and the way that he has still, despite having a gift ban in place, taken trips to the Super Bowl and other sporting events alongside just some other, mostly sporting events, I'd say. So, you know, I'm very honored by that. We got a great team at Spotlight, and that's what I'm saying. This is stuff we do. You know, we focus on holding power to account, and we've been able to do it in a way in Pennsylvania that can, you know, punch up there with national outlets. The winner was a Time Magazine reporter, so I'll take that. If that's the competition Spotlight's running in, I think we're doing good work.
Yeah, somehow our governor gets to go to a lot of sports events, and he gets to go for free. Yeah, okay. It's like, how do I get on that deal? Stephen, I'm just curious. I've never contacted Angela before. Does she do radio interviews? Because the series she's done on the care for elderly in Pennsylvania is a bit, I'll call it damning. It's not good. I'd love to get Angela on the show to talk about that, because some of this reporting she's done, I'm like, they did what? Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, does she do stuff like this?
I think she would. Oh, I'm happy to ask her for you. She is truly one of the best reporters I have ever known, ever worked with. She's been in Harrisburg since the mid-2000s. So, she knows her stuff. And, I can tell you she's, I think, the most feared person in the capital, if not probably the greater Harrisburg region. She's an utter delight as a colleague and a reporter, and I bet you she'd talk to you about it. I'm sure she's happy to.
Do me a favor. Put in a good word for us, all right? Or share an email address or something. The most feared person in Harrisburg. Yeah, I want her on the show. I want to talk. And the whole elder care thing, that series, I've read this. Man. I'm like, okay, this is not good, because I have elderly in-laws. And we're sort of, the family's sort of in a decision-making mode right now, and I'm seeing some of this stuff like, whoa, that's not good. So, yeah, put in a good word for us. I'd love to have her on the show sometime. All right, let's see.
I absolutely will.
My calendar says, it's July 10th, so the new state budget's been rolling for 10 days now. How's that been going, Steve?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because the law requires that they passed it by the end of June. So, yeah, how's that budget that's already been passed impacting us?
I got some bad news, guys. So there's no state budget yet. I feel a need to also say, like, it was funny, Senate Majority Leader Joe Pittman gave a quote where he said, you know, the sun will come up on July 1st and the good people of Pennsylvania probably won't notice a thing. And, you know, look, planes aren't falling out of the sky, cities aren't spontaneously combusting, like, you know, there's no state budget and, like, you know, things are, you know, fine for the short term. The problem is more when you get into the long term, there's no state budget. School districts are going to start, you know, maybe having to take out debt to afford payments that otherwise would be backfilled with state dollars. You know, county human services providers, counties run a lot of mental health services and alcohol treatment, substance abuse treatment. They all of a sudden might be like, oh crap, we can't fit our bills. It does build over the course of the weeks and the weeks. If you just go 1 or 2 weeks to take extra time to hammer out a good deal, that's fine. If you go further, you get into August, September, October, no deal, then you start getting the problems. And right now, everyone's in Harrisburg, but top lawmakers, their top staff are in Harrisburg. They're hammering stuff out. They're talking. Everyone's definitely talking. You know, how close they are to a deal changes by the minute and who last texted me. The rumor mill is wild during these impasses. Hard part is trying to figure out what's actually happening, but the one thing I could definitely tell your listeners, everyone's talking. No deal yet, and I'm happy to get into all the things that are making a deal hard in further questions instead of just yapping for another 10 minutes as I'm on to do.
The obvious follow-up, Stephen. What's the problem? Why does this happen every year? Are they just kind of snickering behind closed doors like, yeah, we really don't have to do anything? What's the problem? Why is this not happening?
So I think the problem is that Pennsylvania has historically run a structural deficit, by which I mean the state regularly was spending a little bit more money than it was taking in. And we were able to get through a couple years because of one-time money from, you know, expanding gaming, selling new licenses for casinos. Like, you know, sports betting became illegal in the late 2010s, which also became, like, you know, another way to just get another couple hundred million there. The state would also just resort to accounting gimmicks. The national watchdog group founded in New York City even said that Pennsylvania, it was the worst in the nation in terms of how it used accounting gimmicks. So by that, I mean, you move a bill around, you basically just give everyone an IOU, and when you're state, you can kind of get away with it. There was one year Governor Tom Wolf sold the and then leased back the state the Giant Center where they hold the farm show to get another couple hundred extra million dollars to try and plug things up. This is the sort of stuff that would be done. Now, fast forward to where we are now, like, the state has some extra money in the bank. We kind of won the equivalent of the fiscal lottery from COVID because the federal government was sending more money to the states. And also, with all the aid that people were getting, thinking of the stimulus checks, tax revenues were kind of up, and also corporate revenues really high. So corporate taxes went up. So the state had this one-time windfall and built up a reserves of about, 15 billion dollars at its peak. So the last couple budgets, we've been able to use that to sort of even out the fact that we're not bringing up enough revenue to keep up with the increased spending on things like Medicaid, on education, on this, that, the other thing. Now this is the year where suddenly, well, we've been spending more money on things that to be clear, like, there's a strong need to fund, whether we're talking about, healthcare for low-income folks, or, there's a court ruling saying Pennsylvania's been underfunding education in poor districts. Public transit agencies across the state are saying they're about to hit a fiscal cliff. I mean, aging, elder care, those are things that are constantly saying there's not enough money. You talk to home care providers, they say they don't get enough money from the state in order to pay their workers, like, living wages. All of these things are kind of cresting right now, and Governor Shapiro's budget pitch to try and just patch up some of those things was over $50 billion. The state was spending about $47 billion this year that just finished, if I remember correctly. But again, to spend that much money, we'd have to draw down more of those reserves we built up. They're down to about $11 billion right now. With Shapiro's plan, we'd have to cut that in half, more or less. We'd be at $5 billion, and we're still not bringing in enough revenue to cover $50 billion of spending. So you get into this point of, like, how is the state going to pay its bills? The state isn't the federal government. The state doesn't have nuclear weapons. They can't call them a debt. And that means that tough choices have to be made. The state either has to. There's two ways to balance a budget. When you can't go into debt, you got to cut spending or you got to raise revenue. And that's a really hard conversation because Harrisburg right now is a Republican Senate, a Democratic governor, a Democratic House. All three have different priorities. The House and governor are both Democrats, but, what gets you elected in an individual district is different than what will get Josh Shapiro elected to another term. And so everyone's trying to hash out how you do this in divided government where, look at our national politics. It's not like there's a lot of common ground. And they have to do this in miniature in Harrisburg in a divided legislature.
All right. So, Stephen, right now, roughly, rounding off a little bit, I guess, state budget is around $50 billion. Now, maybe this is Scott. Maybe I'm getting old. Not that long ago, wasn't it $30 billion? I mean, I just over the last maybe 5-6 years, or am I wrong on that, Stephen? It just seems like all of a sudden in the last few years, the state budget just been whoop, going way up. Or am I wrong on that?
No, you're not totally wrong. I mean, you're not wrong. When I started, I want to say the first budget I covered was, I want to say, we at least started or ended up being pitched in the high 30 million. So probably like 38 million, 37 million. But Shapiro's budget pitch for this year that we're now in was 51 billion. The one that was approved for last year, like I said, I think it was like 47.5, maybe it was 48 billion. There has been an increase. I mean, also, what I'd say is, on the one hand, and this is Republicans' point, would be, that's a lot of growth. Where is this going? Is there a way to, like, reduce that? Like, what is driving this? And is there a way to cut back on that? And then, like, when you look at it, what you see, the biggest thing is Pennsylvania's an aging state. You know, we have a population that's increasingly graying. We have a lot of people who need medical assistance, which is the state term for Medicaid. The Medicaid program, you know, that helps pay for health care for low-income folks. Those costs are high. Healthcare costs are going up for everybody, public and private sector. And also, elderly folks don't pay as many taxes to the state in terms of, like, the taxes that the state government gets. You know, they pay property taxes, but they don't consume as much. They're not making income. We don't tax retirement income. So, that means that there's not as many, like, you know, prime working age people in Pennsylvania paying taxes. So that kind of, like, hurts the state's finances overall. And, you know, so it's sort of like we have this dual situation of prices are going up, inflation's happened, healthcare costs are our biggest driver, we have more people who need this healthcare, and they're not the sort of people who are paying as many taxes. I mean, obviously, if they are on public healthcare, they don't necessarily have the cash to be able to, like, be paying all these taxes they'll pay for. And the state just gets in a situation where the expenses start outstripping the revenue. And it's it's a problem. You states can't go in the debt. Pennsylvania constitutionally can't go in the debt.
Is that true? Or if we're late on budgets, I'm just wondering if we actually get to some point where we actually have a real honest to goodness deficit in Harrisburg.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that's impossible? That could never happen? I'm surprised it hasn't happened already.
Well, no, so I guess my point, you know, again, it's the difference between deficit and debt. State has run deficits. Deficit just refers to the fact that, like, we spend more money than we take in, and we've been able to cover it up with, like, accounting tricks, or in recent years, we had money in our savings to cover the gap. You know, I would think about it like, it's like, imagine if, you know, you're making $50,000 a year. You won the lottery. You get all of a sudden got $1 million a year. You then decide to buy a really nice house with that. You put a down payment, but all of a sudden your mortgage payment's through the roof, and you can't actually afford that really, you know, that huge mortgage for the house that you bought. And you know, that's kind of what I would say we're akin to. I don't want to use too many household metaphors and torture the thing. Like, and when I say the state can't be in debt, it's like, what I mean is that, you know, when we run a deficit, the state just has to either cut or raise taxes, unless there's, I believe, a statewide referendum saying, oh, you can go in the debt, you can issue bonds, you can go seek a loan from the private market to try and cover the gap. And you know, no one's pitched that. The only exception would be, like, we can issue bonds for, like, road funding. That's pretty normal. But so that's my point, is that, like, well, Pennsylvania has kind of regularly been in this position of having very tricky finances where we're just barely making ends meet. You know, we're kind of finally at the point where the bill is coming due and we're going to burn for our cash reserves within the next 2 years or so, unless there's some major changes to our state's financial system and the way we finance things.
Yeah, I was going to say, I seem to recall just a couple of years ago that state budget surplus was around, I think, $14 billion. Stephen, mm-hmm. do you know how much is it right now? Because I know it's not 14.
It's $11 billion right now, roughly.
Okay.
You know, look, that was built up because of, you know, during COVID, like I said, the federal government was kicking in more money to the states for a couple of ways, and then also just tax revenues were higher than expected during 2020, 2021, 2022. Like, you know, economists thought, like, you know, everything was going to collapse consumption-wise, but, you know, people end up getting money from the federal government, so they spent money on, you know, consumer items, and corporations started to make more money. That meant elevated corporate tax revenues, and that meant the state ended up with way more money than anyone expected for, like, 2-3 years there.
All right, now here's something. Maybe you've done a story on this. Again, our local Congressman Thompson was with us yesterday. Of course, we're talking about the big, beautiful bill, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And especially Medicaid and SNAP, where federal funds go to states, and then states mm-hmm. distribute those funds somehow in their state. And it was the congressman's assertion that Harrisburg doesn't do a very good job or a very efficient job of using that Medicaid and SNAP money. here in Pennsylvania. In other words, that there's probably a lot of waste. People are getting money that really shouldn't, and so on. Have you done any reporting on that? Because, I mean, that's a pretty serious assertion the congressman is making. You cover Harrisburg. Does this ever come up, how the state uses that Medicaid and SNAP funding?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a fundamental conversation about, like, with the amount of money we're spending. Republicans are always going to say, like, they think that there's room for, you know, to trim the fat there. And I've never done direct coverage of this, but my colleague Angela, who I mentioned, actually did a story on SNAP, for instance. What a lot of this comes down to is what's known as the error rate, my understanding of it is it's like this for SNAP, for at least, like, is... It is the rate of who is getting overpaid. Pennsylvania's, I believe, sits at about 10%. Might sound high. I want to say that's actually below a lot of our neighboring states. I think it's maybe a little below average for all the states. But still, you know, 10%, that's money. That's potentially, it's overpayments. But the way it's been put to me is that, like, you can't think of that 10% as that is all just people who are, could be employed, but aren't employed and just taking money to go to the grocery store and buy, you know, Wagyu beef. It's like, that just might mean that, like, somebody is getting paid for, like, you know, it's a paperwork issue where their familial situation has changed. Like, maybe they went through a divorce and suddenly, like, they're still getting paid, you know, some money for an extra member of the household who isn't there. And I think it can also even refer to numbers of, like, aren't high enough if someone is, like, you know. So that, like, I think in general what you see is there's a lot of rhetoric around, like, waste, fraud, and abuse in public services like Medicaid and SNAP that tries to get this idea that, okay, the all of the waste and the fraud, or all of these things represent somebody like the welfare queen, you know, that term from the 80s. But most studies that look at this say that most of the time it is not that. Like, the number of able-bodied people who can't or who could work on Medicaid is not that big. It's a very small percentage of the people receiving it, and then usually there's a story behind that. It usually isn't this clean cut, just like person sitting in a basement playing video games who, you know, could have a job, but instead is just getting by on public insurance. The cases of that are usually very rare. So, you know, and you can add work requirements like the federal government requires with the omnibus bill, and you can try and, you know, change things around, but a lot of times when this stuff is implemented, it implements in a way that still kicks people off who might really need the help.
Stephen, I think I smell a future story series right there. I think
there's a lot to be done.
Yeah. And what kind of beef? What beef did you say?
Oh, Wagyu beef. You know, come on. That's the Wagyu beef, the Japanese beef that's beautifully marbled.
Yeah.
Come on.
Apparently, I'm going to the wrong store.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry.
It's in all of your groceries.
All right. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to do research on Wagyu beef or something. I just get plain old beef. All right. We're talking with Stephen Caruso from Spotlight PA. We're going to talk about maybe some specific things that he has covered involving the state budget and the holdup and all that. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll take a break. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388. Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck,
SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the spring sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It is Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you again. A little open phone time coming up at the end of this morning's big show.
Again, we're talking with Stephen Caruso from Spotlight PA, covering Harrisburg issues and so on. All right, some of the things, Stephen, that you've covered, let's run down sort of a list, like, okay, the problems and so on. Skill games, okay? I've seen these in, you know, convenience stores and so on. I've never... To my knowledge, I don't remember ever playing one and so on. What's the issue with skill games? What's the argument here?
Okay, so, I mean, it's like one of the most complicated things to explain. Yeah. But I'll try to keep it simple, which, look, they're okay. The Spotlight devices that you probably see in, you know, they're in VFWs, they're in convenience stores, they might be in a small grocery store, they're everywhere. Some places just stick them wall to wall. In their place, because these are, you know, they're gaming. If you call them gambling, the people who make them will be very mad, because their point would be you can win every time if you know how to play them right. My understanding is that, you know, the difference is all about the computer algorithms that go into a slot machine versus their machines. I am not an expert in what makes a slot machine do what it does and what makes a skill machine do what it does, but all of this is to say is, you know, a slot machine just says, like, oh, this person wins, this person loses, and always make sure enough money comes out that the house always wins. you know, the argument with skill games is we don't have that. You can always win. You can make money. But the fact of the matter is they must make money off of them, the company and both the businesses that put them in, because they just keep expanding. And there was a whole press conference where the folks who argue that these machines should now be taxed and regulated, that you know, they help us pay overtime and they help us make sure that all of our workers have good benefits and et cetera, et cetera. I'm saying all this to say that, you know, these machines, they might not be gambling in the sense of you and me think about, you know, what a slot machine is, but they definitely seem to have an impact quite like that. And, you know, you talk to people who, you know, potentially lost all their money trying to play these things. So that means that it ends up having an effect quite like gambling on society. And, you know, when slot machines and poker games, casinos, all of that came to Pennsylvania, it came alongside a lot of changes, a specific board to regulate casinos and, you know, money to try to go to addiction treatment because, you know, there are people who are addicted to gambling, and, you know, and a whole system to try and keep it regulated. Skill games, though, are just completely unregulated at this point because they got into the state after a court ruling said, oh, well, they're not gaming, or they're not gambling, so they're a secret third thing and they can just go wherever they want. And that's why we've seen them proliferate across the Commonwealth, in everywhere, as you noted. That is leading to, you know, paying for the lottery, which pays for aging services, you know, people who buy scratch-off tickets. That leads to less money for the casinos, who don't like that. They had to pay a lot of money for their licenses, and they're not a fan of losing any money. You know, it's led to money for the people who make the machines, build the machines, and have the machines in their business. And now the argument is just, like, how do we regulate and tax these things because it needs to be done? And that's the funny thing. The one thing that there's a total agreement on is there need to be regulations and there needs to be taxes. The difference is simply where do you put that tax rate and how do you regulate them is causing a huge headache because there's a million ways to do it. And if you do it in one way, the skill machine operators, producers, and all of them, they're going to scream bloody murder, saying that you're trying to put us out of business and that, you know, we won't be able to operate. And then you do it another way, and the casinos are like, we're getting a huge haircut, and, you know, potentially you're hurting the lottery, which, like I said, pays for aging services in Pennsylvania, pays for property tax rebates and you know, free rides to the doctor and stuff like that. So the details do matter of how you do it, and this is an issue that's been heavily lobbied and just in general. There's a lot of money in this issue, as I noted. It's all about money. And the skill game operators and the casinos and then other folks who all are involved in the gaming space, they all have tons of money, and they throw it at top lobby firms and into lawmakers' campaign coffers, which makes this issue, which already is hard, very policy, very wonky, and kind of hard to understand. It makes a difficult issue even more impossible because this is not just about, you know, how do we make sure the state's getting its cut and people aren't getting too addicted to gambling or, you know, gaming. But how do you, you know, how do you also navigate all the people who have big money to spend in politics? And that's always hard.
We have to make a definition of what gaming is. Oh, for goodness sakes. All right. All right. Transit.
That's what it is.
All right. Transit, transit funding. All right. I think you mentioned this last segment. You know, SEPTA in Philadelphia is moaning. We don't have money. The Pittsburgh Authority is moaning. They don't have money. What is going on with transit funding?
So transit is, and look, you mentioned Pittsburgh and SEPTA. They have some of the biggest shortfalls. This is every transit agency across the state, and there's transit in State College, there's transit in Bradford, there's transit in Scranton, Harrisburg. I just feel a need to throw that in there. But basically, you know, again, we kind of go back to issues from the pandemic, that agencies were humming along, you know, some of them were facing some financial woes, they're working through it. Pandemic hits. People stop commuting as much. You know, obviously, if your entire business is moving people from point A to point B, you're going to lose a lot of money. The federal government sent money to transit agencies to try to help them get through that. We are now at the end of those dollars. Ridership has returned for many of these agencies, but it's just in different ways. It looks different, and sometimes it isn't as high. So a lot of agencies, from SEPTA, the PRT, to, you know, all the other ones in between and all the small areas that run rural bus services and whatnot, they're all starting to say, like, if we don't run out of money, not run out, but if we don't, we're going to have to start cutting services and raising fares if we don't get more state aid. Because the state right now kicks in about $1.5 billion in operating expenditures to agencies. And that is, that's for, like, you know, bus driver salaries, that's for gasoline, that's for the stuff like that. And especially for transit, it's tricky because if they have to start raising fares and cutting services, that means their ridership's going to keep going down. And then the people who study this say basically just creates a vicious cycle where they go into a death spiral. They have to just keep cutting and raising and cutting and raising until the service is effectively useless, and then you have no more transit agency. So that's why that's such a pressing issue. Obviously, SEPTA serves Philadelphia, the Commonwealth's largest city. PRT serves Pittsburgh, second largest city. That's made this particularly pressing and kind of on their timeline, particularly SEPTA's timeline. They said they're going to start raising fares and cutting service by the end of August without a deal. But a deal is complicated because, as I said, we have a divided government. Democrats are on favor of this. Governor Shapiro proposed boosting the amount of state aid that goes to these agencies. It wouldn't be a new tax. It's just the state, like I said, right now gives money to them. It would give more money out of the sales tax revenue, which is what funds transit right now. Republicans have said that given our structural issues, we can't afford to siphon more money out of the general fund, out of our revenue, specifically the one cause, about having, more control, more revenue to cover it, because then, money that goes to transit can't be used to pay for education, can't be used to pay for Medicaid, can't be used to pay for SNAP. And also Republicans have said maybe, we want to see money for roads. Roads are what serve our constituents. Our transportation system is aging. We have more highway miles in almost every state in the nation that need to be covered. We also have a transportation funding system that was done in the mid-2010s. That was under Corbett, Act 89, gave us the highest gas tax. But the funny thing is, gas tax revenue doesn't go as far because fuel efficiency and electric cars and hybrids and all that. So there is a need to do a big change in transportation funding in Pennsylvania. But again, that's a hard thing. People lost their position in the legislature over the gas tax in 2013. And so, again, you get into this issue of it's hard to do in a It's hard to do at any time, let alone a divided legislature.
All right. Now, you just had a story this week about sales tax exemptions and how some of that could possibly be going away. You cover it in the story, Stephen. Pennsylvania sales tax is insane. I mean, it's crazy. All right. What was that story? What's going on here?
Yeah, so Leader Joe Pittman in the Senate of the Senate Republicans, he actually told reporters last month in response to some questions that he was interested in looking at exemptions to Pennsylvania's sales tax, because right now, we level a 6% sales tax on sales in Pennsylvania when you go buy some product. There's a lot of exemptions to it. For instance, if you go to the grocery store, you're not going to pay 6% sales tax unless it's basically a food that ready to eat, get a rotisserie chicken or something like that. But when you just go buy a steak, if you go buy cereal, you go buy, an apple, that won't be taxed. That leads to, the state collects about $14 billion from its sales tax. There's another $27 billion that the sales tax is not put on. And that's also because there's a ton of exemptions for, services, for instance. Basically any service in the state, if you hire a lawyer, you get into a contract with them, an accountant, landscaping, dry cleaning, going to a concert, a lot of stuff like that, there's no sales tax on, which I talked to the Tax Foundation. They're a national group that looks at smart tax policy. They hadn't said exactly, they haven't looked exactly at exemptions, but they did say, this is common because there's concerns that, maybe you can make the sales tax less onerous if you leave some stuff out. So it's not like Pennsylvania is completely unique in that, but we do have a lot of these exemptions. And, Pittman's point was, what if we look at some of the smaller ones as a way to add more revenue? Some really weird ones we have, if you buy a flag, you don't pay tax on that, like an American flag or a Commonwealth flag. We don't tax candy. That is even done separately. I guess I think that might be covered in some ways, but we strictly say, we're not going to put a sales tax on candy. There's some interesting ones in there. You look at the article. We made a chart with all 100 plus of them, and I highly suggest there's a lot of interesting stuff in there.
All right, Stephen, just your opinion. Do you think something is going to change there with sales tax? Some of these exemptions will be taken out. Do you think there's something to that?
It is hard to say, and I promise you, I'm not trying to duck the question. It's just talks right now are so black box, details haven't really come out. It's an interesting idea. The problem is that one lobbyist who'd been doing this business for a while, and a former top Democratic staffer in the House for a while, noted that, like, all of these exemptions have a built-in universe of support. They're all there for a reason. They're not just there because some lawmaker had a bright idea. They're there because somebody lobbied for it, you know, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 50 years ago. And they still do everything they can to protect them. That means it's hard. Not to go back to my running theme of things are hard, but when, you know, an issue has a lot of money behind it, it's hard to do something on it. And that, so I think that makes me think maybe not, but at the same time, like, we have, you know, that there's, lawmakers need to do something. I think there's broad agreement that this is a year to try and start taking a hack at the deficit and start taking, like, you know, with the federal bill, there's going to be needs to take a look at SNAP and Medicaid and like, change some things there. There's going to be a lot of hard conversations. You know, if you're having one hard conversation, why not add another one on top?
All right. Now, I don't know if you know anything about this directly. State prison closings. Now, obviously, that hits us where we sit. Rockview State Prison is like right over there. Okay. And we're sort of sitting and waiting and sitting and waiting. And what's going to happen here? We don't know. Do you have any information on that? Like when a decision might be made or anything on that?
I don't have anything specific, but I would say from covering a few of these budgets, I bet you it's something that gets tied up in the broader plan. I would bet you good money that whatever is going to happen will be tackled in the budget or some of the accompanying legislation that passes it. I'm sure it's on the mind of both all the legislators who represent the area and are impacted by it. I bet you it's something that's been brought up. I can't tell you what the eventual outcome will be. But, like, you know, for instance, I can remember when Governor Wolf in the late 2010s wanted to close these state centers for people with intellectual disabilities. Very similar, you know, these kind of large state institutions, often in rural areas. When he wanted to close them, citing costs, it kicked up a big fuss. There was a debate over it. He did end up closing them, but in a budget bill, I think there was like a proposal to give like $10 million to these communities to try and help them figure out ways to redevelop the land or just in general to, you know, transition out of their, you know, an economy that depended upon these institutions. So I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, but like that was in the budget. The budget is where most legislating gets done. We still have a big, open, unfinished budget, and so I bet you it's all wrapped up in that one omni conversation.
You have any idea, any guess, Stephen, as to when we will actually have a budget passed this year?
I'm going to shake my magic eight ball, and it's saying to ask again later. Is that a good enough answer?
That sounds right. Yep, that sounds right.
Yes, the magic eight ball is still a thing. Okay, so. But hey,
it's on my phone. I don't have an actual one.
Oh, well, I thought, come on, you got to get a real one or something. But the good news is apparently now we have Sunday hunting, right?
Yeah, the governor signed that yesterday. Long time issue. I am not a hunter, but I know people have debated this one for a while. And yeah, it's now all on the Game Commission. I think they have about until fall to try and start issuing regulations. So apparently they're going to move quick on it. But yeah, I are you guys hunters?
I am not. Well, I have a lot of good friends that are hunters, as they say, but no, I do not hunt.
I live in hunting country, yeah. And I'm sorry, I'm also old. This one rubs me the wrong way. I just, granted, blue laws and all that sort of stuff. I'm not a fan of Sunday hunting, but here it comes, so I guess I don't have much of a choice. So, anyway. anyway. All right. I tell you what, we're about out of time here, Stephen, but so you can't tell us that, you know, Tuesday we're going to have a new budget. Put it this way, is it going to go into August?
I shake my magic eight ball. No, I think generally there's a thought that, like, maybe they'll get to something close that could be voted on next week, maybe. But again, I just have to qualify it 10 times because all the talks are in a black box. The way this is done is top lawmakers and staff meet behind closed doors. It's like the people conclave, you know? Like, I can't listen in as much as I, and also if I tried to put a listening device in there, that would be illegal under state law. So what do you want me to do?
Actually, you know what? That's a great idea, Stephen. The conclave thing. We should take all these legislators and lock them in a room, and they have to vote and get it done. Somebody puts a chimney attached to the state dome in Harrisburg, and we're all standing there waiting for the white or black smoke to come out. Stephen, that's a great idea.
By all of us, you mean us three, right?
Exactly.
Well, okay. You ruined it, all right? I just think that would be a great idea. They should do that.
And if it's marijuana smoke that comes out of that chimney, we know that they have their next taxable recreational item for the upcoming year.
Actually, but as we wrap up, Stephen, yeah, we haven't heard about marijuana lately, all right? What's going on with that in the legislature?
That is also just that appears dead. The Senate leadership said very clearly they didn't like the House proposal, which would have set up a sale by a state board, like much how we sell liquor. So that's dead. That's it. I have nothing else to report on that. That one's easy, actually. More questions like that, please.
Dead for now. Until we get point where the state actually is at a crossroads where it's like, oh my gosh, we're actually going to go. Well, now maybe we will, is my guess, but that's the cynical me.
Look, keep your cynical hat on. These are elected officials. Like, I think it's good. I think it's actually patriotic to be somewhat cynical about elected office.
All right, there we go. Once again, the website spotlightpa.org. Although, Stephen, there are a lot of like newspapers and media outlets that also pick up your stories and publish them or put them out there. So, like Center Daily Times has some Spotlight PA stories. StateCollege.com has done the same thing. Stephen, we always appreciate your time, and keep doing good work down there, and enjoy your magic eight ball.
I will. Thank you so much for having me.
Keep
happy to
posted.
Talk about it.
Hey, right. Thank you, Stephen.
They do still make magic, like the real magic eight ball, not the one on your phone. All right, that's cheating.
Well, they do have that, too.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Everything's on your phone these days.
We'll come back. We'll have just a few minutes of open line time. You can chime in if you like. Listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 98.7thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 98.7 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 98.7thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 98.7 The Fox.
Lezzer Lumber Great Outdoor Sale now through July 5th. Special pricing on TimberTech and Trex decking. See all our railing options, plus solar and LED lighting by RDI. The best in siding and roofing materials, as well as your summer fix-up. Fixing storm damage and new build projects. Ask about our new Best Plus plastic lumber. It's a long-lasting, affordable solution. Financing available. See all the outdoor living options at LezzerLumber.com. Lezzer Lumber. Decks built to be legendary.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Are your deductibles too high? Or are you completely uninsured? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Healthcare Help Desk can help you now, when people need help the most. Health insurance laws and rules have changed. If you have Obamacare, are uninsured, or your premiums are too high, call Healthcare Help Desk. It's free. New healthcare plans are available, and you may qualify for dental coverage and lower copays and deductibles. Make the free call now. Top quality coverage at the lowest prices anywhere. You may be paying too much and not even know it. In these troubled times, healthcare is more important than ever. Don't let another day go by without health insurance.
Policies are being offered with very low copays and deductibles. So if you're uninsured, underinsured, or paying too much, call Healthcare Help Desk.
800-930-2263. 800-930-2263. 800-930-2263.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the spring sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
A few minutes remaining on our Thursday edition of Let's Talk, the Dan Patrick Show. We'll roll your way from 10 to noon today. Then we join Joe Ludnowski and the Pennsylvania Sports Network from noon to 2. The Goon and Ironhead Show. We'll be goonless once again, but that'll run from 2 to 4 this afternoon. Jed Donahue takes over the airwaves from 4 to 6. And then no buckos to worry about tonight. So you can just enjoy Fox Sports the rest of the evening. And good luck to the State College 11U Little League team. Let's get it done. Need a couple of wins over Hollidaysburg today to get to the Pennsylvania State Tournament next week.
So they would have to win two games today.
Correct.
All right. Yep. So double. They need to force a doubleheader and win them both.
Correct. Ooh, yep. And that is a really good Hollidaysburg team that they're taking on.
That's a tall order there.
It is.
Wow. Okay.
Believe in yourself. You can do it, boys.
All right. Tomorrow, County Commissioner Mark Higgins is going to join us, our political week. We're going to talk about local issues, things going on in the county. Yeah, we'll mention Rockview Prison again because it's just kind of hovering out there. Like, what the heck is going on? Maybe the commissioner has some information and then some other things as well. Real quick quote here. Now, this is from a Spotlight PA story. I didn't bring this up with Stephen. It's about Josh Shapiro, our governor. There's a book out there now. I've seen some national publicity. It's called How Trump Retook the White House and the Democrats Lost America. That's the title of the book.
Uh-huh.
All right. Like, what happened last year? And, of course, Governor Shapiro at one point was up for vice president. Remember, that was a year ago, mm-hmm. roughly speaking. All right. And there's this quote in this book about Shapiro. All right, this is from the book. It says, Shapiro, came across as overly ambitious, pushing Kamala Harris to define what his role would be. He also conceded it would not be natural for him to serve as someone's number two,
mm-hmm.
leaving Harris with a bad impression. Now, there's still argument about this, all right? I think he did it intentionally because I think he saw what was in front of him and realized maybe I really don't want to be a part of this. And so, again, he was all hyped a year ago, you know, oh, Shapiro would be great. Oh, you know, for all these reasons, blah, 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 blah. Pennsylvania, battleground state, blah, blah, blah. Remember all that? And I just think he was looking at the situation and just thought, I don't want to hitch my train here. And so now that and also he's a rather ambitious fellow. Now, he needs to earn re-election as governor. Now, that will be next year. And then we'll see what happens. I mean, it's kind of fascinating to see what's going to happen here. I don't know. Is he ambitious? Is he smart? Is he cagey? Does he spend too much? Does he keep getting free trips to sports games?
I'm going to say yes to all of the above, actually. That was well done. Folks, have a great Thursday. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.